You're now in the south choir aisle, standing by one of the Romanesque sculptured panels. This style of art and architecture was widespread in Europe before the 13th century. As these important sculptured panels are old and precious, they're protected by glass. They measure nearly 4 feet or 1 meter in height. Feel the stone surround and you'll get some idea of the size.
In 1829, they were discovered behind the choir stalls. They are a rare survival, as many similar sculptures were broken up during the reforms of the church by Henry VIII. These 12th century sculptures tell the story of the raising of Lazarus. In the panel you are standing by, Lazarus is raised from the dead. In the other, further along the aisle, Lazarus's sisters, Martha and Mary, ask Christ for help. 800 years after they were carved, these panels are still very moving. There is intense concentration on Christ's face as he prepares to perform the miracle, and great emotion is shown by the women.
Follow the wall along with your hand to the monument of Bishop Sherburne, which is set in a wall recess in the next bay. Switch off while you do this, and on again when you've found the monument.
Bishop Sherburne, who died in 1536, was a shrewd and politically minded bishop. He arranged the marriage of Catherine of Aragon to Henry VIII, but managed to steer a prudent course during the Reformation. Sherburne commissioned a painting from his court painter, Lambert Barnard, showing Sherburne asking Henry VIII to renew the charter for Chichester, a clever move at this difficult time for the church. Sherburne also contributed to the cathedral by giving money for lay vicars and other posts, as well as commissioning further paintings. The painted alabaster effigy of the bishop lies on a tomb chest. There are angels with large gold wings on the blue panel at the back. In medieval times, much of the cathedral was painted, and it was a very colourful place. Please face the tomb. On your right, you will find the bishop's head. He's wearing a decorated mitre, a symbol of his office. Move your hand down to find the top of the crozier, or crooked staff, another symbol of a bishop who is the shepherd of his flock. Nearby are his hands, clasped together in prayer. As you move your hands over the effigy, you'll be able to feel the beautiful carving of his vestments, which are edged with carved gold embroidery. At his feet is a red lion. Behind is the hidden part of the monument. Find the round toe of the bishop's shoe behind the lion's mane. If you run your hand downwards, you can feel the face of the small figure of a beadsman praying for the bishop's soul. Further down, find the arms and hands which are holding a string of beads. Each bead represents a prayer. Further exploration will reveal that there are two of these beadsmen. They cannot be seen clearly and are only properly appreciated by touch.
You may like to stay and look at this monument a little longer. Switch off now and on again when you're ready to continue. Your next stop will be the stone-carved gargoyle, or waterspout, in the shape of a grotesque beast. Again, follow the wall along, past the second Romanesque panel. You'll find the gargoyle on the right, towards the end of the aisle. Nearby, a small, safely enclosed electricity meter juts out from the wall. Please be very careful here. In the centre of the aisle is a large rectangular area with a metal railing round it. Here, a Roman mosaic, made up of small pieces of coloured stone, is preserved beneath glass. This is a reminder of Chichester's Roman past, and how both the town and the cathedral are built on Roman foundations. Switch off now, and switch on again when you're standing by the gargoyle, which is at waist height. It's set upright on a stone base against the wall.
This medieval stone gargoyle came from the roof of the cathedral, where it projected out to throw rainwater away from the walls. Similar gargoyles are still on the outside of the building. The word comes from the French word gargouille, meaning throat. Here, the stonemason has been able to use his imagination to create this creature, who was perhaps also meant to frighten away evil spirits. Feel the scales on its chest and legs, and the wings at the sides of its body. The large mouth, originally for spouting out water, now has a metal slot for collecting money, which was formed from the original lead spout.
To your left, further east, is the chapel of St. Mary Magdalene. Behind the altar is Graham Sutherland's painting of Mary Magdalene greeting the risen Christ in the garden and mistaking him for the gardener. It's called Noli Me Tangere, Do Not Touch Me. Unusually, Christ is wearing a hat. It was added, after it was pointed out to Sutherland, that a gardener would certainly wear a straw hat as protection from the sun. Move next into the retro choir, which is behind you. However, if you're facing the chapel of St. Mary Magdalene, move to your left. Directly ahead is a cluster of Purbeck marble columns. Switch off now, and switch on again when you're standing by the columns.